Hey, everybody. I'd just like to start with a prayer. Father, we are blessed to be here. We're humbled to be here. And we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for your presence just being here so clearly this morning. We believe that you are a God who changes lives in big ways. And we believe that there are people here this morning whose lives you want to set into a new direction, God. So I pray that you would use me and use all the guys who are here with me to do your work. In Jesus' name. Amen. So hello. Yes, I'm Nathan. I work out at Teen Challenge Atlantic, and I'm going to take a few minutes of your time, and then I'm going to get these guys to share a little bit of their stories. But I want to introduce Teen Challenge a little bit and what it is. So first off, I'll introduce the guys we have here. So Ron is right here. You can throw your hand up so everybody knows who you are. We have Ron, we have Drew, we have Chad, and we have Matt. And they're all right now at different stages in their program. So Teen Challenge is, in a mouthful, a 12-month residential faith-based drug and alcohol rehabilitation program. So that's a lot. But basically, guys, come into our program. It's for males 18 and up, so not actually for teens, which I know can be confusing because you may see these guys and think they don't look like they're 16. They come into the program, and they're there for 12 months. And it's a very structured daily program that they run through, and we're going to look into that. We'll talk a little bit about what that looks like when Ron comes up and shares. But how it started off, has anybody ever heard of the book The Cross and the Switchblade? Okay, good. Awesome. Lots of people. So lots of you probably know a ton about Teen Challenge already and why it's called Teen Challenge, even though it's not for teens. But back in the late 50s, a pastor named David Wilkerson in the States felt called to New York. And he went there, and it's kind of a long story, and you can read about it in the book, but he ended up starting up Teen Challenge, and it was, at the time, four teenagers who were on the streets, who were involved in a lot of crime, drug use, gang life, and he gave them a place to stay and worked with them, and they would come and live at this house that he had set up for them, and since then, Teen Challenge has grown to over 1,100 centers worldwide. So that's been incredible. We have seven centers across Canada. There's a women's center in the process of being opened up in Newfoundland right now, which is very needed. But right now we're the only center in Atlantic Canada, as Zach said. So that's a bit about what Teen Challenge is. And I want to read a verse before we go any further. I don't know about you guys. I feel the presence of God here this morning. And I think he's going to do really, really cool things. And like I said, like I prayed, I think there's people here who need to hear what's going to be shared this morning, because I think everyone, I don't think it's a stretch to say everyone has been touched by addiction in some way. Whether you know someone or you are someone who has been through it, it affects us all, families and friends. And it's close to home. And I want to share a verse that just speaks to me that you have probably all heard before, but really has given me a new perspective since I started working out at Teen Challenge. So it's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here." And that's simple, and we can read over that and not think much of it sometimes, but that is a big verse, and that is a big promise. And God is, you know, that's saying that it's not just a slight change in personality when someone comes to know Christ. It is a completely different person. The brain is restructured, the way you think, the way you live. Everything is different. You look different. And that's been so amazing to see, because the guys that come into the doors on day one of their program are not the same guys that leave 12 months later, even 2 months later. They are changed from the inside out. And God is doing an incredible work. So in a minute, I'm going to invite up Ron. But today, I want this morning, the one message I want you guys to hear is that there is hope for those people in your lives. If you have people in your life now who you think of because of this morning, who come to your mind and you think, you know, they're just... maybe they're too far gone. Maybe hope is sort of gone, and maybe you're feeling broken, like Zach said. And there is hope. There's always hope, because each one of these guys are someone who maybe someone had given up on. And these are those people who people thought maybe they're too far gone, and they're not. They never are. So, Ron, I'm going to invite you up, and we're going to share a little bit. So we're going to sit. Because it's more comfortable.
Close to my buddy. In Newfoundland, everybody's a buddy, right? So,
Well, on that note, why don't you start off by telling everybody just a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and stuff like that.
I'm from Newfoundland. My name is Ron. The beautiful town on the west coast of the island called Stephenville. I love it so much. I have a beautiful daughter. She's 24 years old. She's living in Ottawa, and I'll talk a little bit more about her in a few minutes. And I have a great mom and dad, 4 beautiful sisters, and I'm right in the middle. And it was awesome growing up. I had a great childhood. Being a baby boomer, you had to pick what you wanted to do. If you wanted to go down the sand dunes and ride your bike, or if you wanted to go play at hockey, or up in the woods it was really good. So I had a great, great childhood.
So let's dig in a little bit to what life looked like, jumping ahead from your childhood. What did life look like before Teen Challenge for you leading up to this?
Wow, I only got a few minutes, right? Take your time. Life was good, and I was in Taekwondo. I'm a black belt in Taekwondo. I was in that most you know, still practice it. But life was good until I got about 25 years old, and then I got into steroids. And they made me a monster. I was very, very aggressive. I used to fight a lot, and I got my black belt taken away from me, from my master. And I just escalated from there. I had to move out of Stephenville because I never seen the paper. Go with the flow, I guess. I just started doing crazy things, and I lost my black belt, and it was awful. And then when I got 25, I was lifting weights and into Taekwondo when I was 13 years old, and I got my black belt at 22, and then I started to get into steroids around 25 years old, and basically from 25 up till a few years ago, I was taking steroids. Well, a number of years ago, I was taking steroids. And I was awful. I was a monster. I was brutal. My little girl, Victoria, she's an angel. She's just she's like her mom. And I remember one time up in Ottawa, there's one of many times, my fiance and Victoria were in the car, and this guy told me to crawl up. So I didn't like that. So I chased after him. The light was red, so I jumped out of my car. I went over to his, and he see me coming. Like, I was 250 pounds, full of steroids, and I looked like a monster because I was like a dragon, And when I got to his car, he had his window put up, so I put my fist right through it, hauled him out through the door, through the window, and I was going to start pounding on him, and then the people start bumping their horns, and I heard my daughter and my fiance screeching out to me, "Daddy, Daddy, you'll stop doing that." So that was just one of many examples. You know, I lived on the streets of Montreal for a period. I had a nervous breakdown. I remember when I spent time in the psychiatric ward, they sent me home a couple of times to see if I could handle myself. And when I got there when I came home for a few days, I would get up in the morning and I'd say to Mom, "Mom, what can I do?" Like, I was in so much pain. I was suffering so much. I was so broken that I didn't know what to do. So my mom put up with that a lot. You know, I was living home because I was living on the streets of Montreal. I couldn't take care of myself. And it was just awful. I see my poor mom there. Like, that's my mom. To put your mom through that, she didn't lie to me. She's innocent. She's a sweet woman. And to see what I went, to see what I put her through, it was unreal. It was unreal. But I was too sick to see it because I was engulfed in drugs, medication. And I thought because they were prescription medications from my doctor, steroids, he just gave me the injections. He put me on Valium because I became a nutcase, and he said, "You got to chill out or you're not going to be able to stay on the steroids anymore." So back then, steroids were legal, so it was not too bad to get them. And I I'd abused them, of course. And, you know, a lot of people think that Ativan and benzos and drug medication, opiates, are okay to take, but not abuse, not misuse and abuse. And that's what I did. And I wrecked my life, and I wrecked a lot of people's life. My daughter is 24 years old, and she never spoke to me in 12 years. 12 years ago, she said to me, "Daddy, I need a break. And I never spoke to her since. That's my little girl. That's my little girl.
Thanks, Ron. Now I want to ask what the, because there was a lot of time obviously that passed there when you started getting into those habits until now when you're in the program. And I just want to ask, what was the driving force behind making this decision to come to Teen Challenge?
Yeah, that was just, because I'm 57, it's been a long haul, and I've been raised a Catholic, and I grew up as a Catholic, and I went to church every Sunday, did all those things, but I was far from a Christian. I got baptized a Baptist about a year ago, and I thought I was doing all the things to do, and I came in there, and I wasn't. I wasn't, but when I came into Teen Challenge, I walked in through the doors. Nathan picked me up at the airport. We went through the doors, and it's an Edison monastery back in 1958. So, we went through, and I just felt the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, right from that day on. And I'm now into my fourth month, and I love the Lord. The Lord is in my heart. He's in my life. And, I just want to share it with all you guys. I'm not sure what question you asked me, because I'm just speaking now to the crew here. But, it's not a bad gig, if you want to, what odds, what car you got, what home you got, what material things, how much money you got in your bank account. When you got the presence of the Lord, He's God is love, and we all know He's a good, good Father. And if we got Him into our life, things can be taken care of. So if you're not there yet, try it. What do you got to lose besides everything? Someone once, one of my fiancés gave me a nice plaque on the wall, my daughter's mom actually, and it said all the good things in life are free, love, kindness, forgiveness, and many more, the fruits of the Spirit. So why do we get so stressed out? My favorite verse is Proverbs. I'm a little shaky. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all you do, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. When I leave here, I have so many opportunities. I always had a lot of good opportunities in regards to work and so forth. But I'm not worried about that now. The Lord's going to take care of me. I know that. I don't worry about it. He's going to take care of me. My anxiety, I'm off all anxiety medication, and I'm on something way better. His name is Jesus. Why? I'm not going to go out and stress myself and anything. I did too much of that. In fact, I'm 57, so I'm probably as old. I'm older than a lot of people I see here. So, don't wait that long. Go for it now. It's out there. It's free. You don't just got to say, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Done deal.
Awesome. Thank you, Ron. Well, keep one foot on the floor.
Sure. Yeah. Maybe two.
Awesome. Thank you. I want to ask now, since you've come to Teen Challenge, like you said, just nearly 4 months you've been there, and what has been the biggest challenge or the biggest thing God has been teaching you since you've been there?
Okay, here's my list. Number one is unconditional love. Number two is patience. Number three is my temper. Put your hand through someone's window and haul them out through. Yeah, that's a little extreme, and I was called the extremist. They called me pet bull, actually, in the gym, because I was nuts. I was crazy. So coming in here, the Lord has softened my heart. He's filled my heart with the Holy Spirit. It's overflowing. And now I mightn't be here tomorrow. That's a fact. That's life. So I want to share with you, and you right now to take the Lord and give it to her. Go for it.
Awesome. Now, again, I know you have some plans, and you've talked a little bit about your plans for the future, but let's look forward to, whenever you leave this program, what are your goals? What are your expectations? What do you want to see God do in your life?
Oh, if I get what I got out of the first 4 months and the next eight, I'll be so, so happy, and I can't see any different. Especially, this is my first time speaking, so that's when you really get a lot of growth. And back about two weeks ago on a Thursday at 6:35, I was in Pace doing some, I was in detention actually. And I had a hard day. I thought about my daughter. I think about her every day. And I went to the doctor, and there was something there that wasn't so. And anyway, I just had a really, really rough day. And then I just start crying. And there was water dripping down on the table. I cleaned it up. And then I wrote a prayer to Jesus. I was going to bring it today, but I said, no, easy does it. You know, I have a bit of ADHD. I'm trying to control that. So when I, you know, and now I just want to, yeah, just trust in the Lord. I had lots of opportunity before. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried at all. I'm just, opportunities are coming already. But I'm not jumping at anything because I'm not finished the program yet. I got to do 8 more months. Okay, I love it. Love every day. So that's it, Nathan.
That's a great answer. Now, could you, for everybody here, just so they have an idea of kind of what a day of Teen Challenge looks like, would you be able to walk through a bit of the schedule and what a typical day of Teen Challenge for you guys does look like?
Yeah, sure. Monday to Friday, 6:45 in the morning, we're up. Then we got devotion. We got to get devotions. I was going to say get a coffee and devotions, but no. Nathan's here, so I can't. Sometimes we sneak a coffee out of the back room, right? Depends on who's working in the back. So what we do, we get up at 6:45, clean up our room and that. At 7:30, we do devotions for a half an hour, and then we go for breakfast, and then we have like chapel at 9:15, and then we have a break, no chapel, and then we have pace after that, then we have supper, and lunch, I mean, oh boy, it's a good place to lose weight, eh? Lunch. Anyway, so we get a break, then we just got work details, so we'll do some painting around or cleaning up, we keep the place clean, so we work there probably 30, 40 hours a week, you know, we got 15-hour days. So it's not a, you know, it really puts you back on the go. It's an awesome place to be. I just love it. You learn so much. I look forward to the pace. That's the study time that we read into the Bible. And then we got counseling and we got chapel and we got worship. And it's ongoing. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, that's awesome. It is, like Ron said, it's very structured. And it's a lot of work. And each one of these guys will tell you it's a hard program. It's definitely not a vacation. You know, you come and we kind of put you to work, and that structure goes a long way. But yeah, the guys take care of everything. So all the cooking, all the meals, all the cleaning in the summer, all the lawn care, all the property care, it's all taken care of by all the guys there. So there's a lot of life skills that are being built as well through that. So one more question to wrap up. Like I had mentioned, you know, I believe a lot of people here, if not everyone, has been affected by addiction in some capacity. So if there are people here this morning who are maybe just feeling discouraged because of a family member or a friend who is in addiction and they've tried talking to them and they can't get through to them, what advice would you give to those people, or a verse, or just a word of encouragement? What would you say to those people?
This is my 7th program. I did 6 other programs, were 3 months, 1 month long, secular programs. And there's nothing, that's Newfoundland coming out of me saying, there's nothing like Teen Challenge. And the reason why is because it's faith-based, the Lord is there, he takes over your heart, and that's what it's all about. Why wait? People are suffering. I know I was. I can speak for myself. Before I came in here, I was suffering. It was awful. I knew what I wanted, but I didn't know how to get there. You know, I wasn't sure how to get there. I said, you know, I was going to church. I was hanging around with Christian people. I was doing this and that, but I didn't know how to get there. This is the place. Teen Challenge. You won't regret it. Everybody here could benefit from it, but especially people who are having problems and addictions.
Thank you very much, Ron.
By the way, I got to say the staff here is amazing as well, so I got to put that in. Thank you.
Get you your $5 later for that. Awesome. Thank you, Ron. And that's his first time getting up in front of a church and speaking in any capacity since he's been a Teen Challenge for 4 months. So great job. You seem very comfortable. Yeah. So thank you for sharing those things. I want to read another verse that's that's in my head. And this is a few verses. It's a passage of scripture in Matthew that I had read lots before, again, before working at Teen Challenge, and never really knew what it meant or put much thought into it. And it's kind of strange to just hear, but I just want to read it and explain what it means to me now. So it's Matthew 12, verses 43-45. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. And this is how it will be with this wicked generation. So that's, like I said, a passage of scripture that I never really dug into much. But since being a Teen Challenge, I've realized something. And it's that removing the problem of addiction is not enough. That's a small part of recovery. You can't just take a negative habit or a negative characteristic and get rid of it and leave that part of your life empty, because it will be refilled with something worse if you don't fill it with Jesus. We believe that that area of your life needs to be filled with Jesus Christ, or you're going to end up in a worse condition than you were. So we need to be teaching people that. We need to be showing people that you can't just eliminate bad aspects of your life and expect everything to be good, because we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm encouraged this morning. I'm excited. I'm going to invite Drew up now, and he's going to share his story with you. So you can come on up, Drew.
Thanks, Nathan. I just want to share a few things and try and share a few parts of my story this morning. I want to start with the importance of story. The thing with story is it relates to everyone. I know everyone in here has a story on their journey with Christ. And that story is what helps us relate with other people. It helps us communicate with other people. Our vulnerability, our reaching out there, that's something that makes us grow. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm here today. My story, I want to share that. It deals with a lot of fear and shame. It also deals with hope and courage. There's really been two parts of my life, and a lot of it has been like a downhill slope to rock bottom, and then moving up from there, just building on that. One of the things I want to say is that it's easier to fall. It's easier to ignore your problems and numb those problems and that pain and that fear than it is to live sober. It's not easy. It's hard. But that is something that we can all relate with, is that the hard things like that, it takes work. It takes work to do those things and move forward. Most of my life I've been dealing with anxiety and depression. I deal with those for a long time, from a young age. For a long time, I was numbing the pain in my life with drugs and alcohol as I fell further down this slope. And the thing is with numbing the pain is that when you numb the darkness in your life, you also numb out the light, the good things in your life, and miss out on those things. Not only the anxiety and depression, but other things that were going on in my life, like self-worth, loneliness, rejection, childhood trauma, fears and shames. These are things that I would proverbially put in my backpack, the stones that would weigh me down, these things I lived with through my life. And I would ignore them. These problems would come up, and I would ignore them, but they would weigh me down further. One of the other main things with my fall is that I refused to ask for help. I really believed that I could deal with all of these things on my own. But the truth is that I wasn't dealing with them at all. I was just packing them away. I let this fear and shame rule my life. I let the opinions of others dictate my identity. And my mind became a prison. And the drugs were my escape plan. My plan was to continue to numb my pain. I got to a point where I didn't care anymore. I got to a point where my life was falling apart. I remember because of my drug use, I fell into a psychosis. It's something that can happen from drugs, from staying up too late. It also can happen to people with mental health issues. In that psychosis, I was up for 7 days. I shut myself in my apartment. I started to fall asleep while I was still awake. I started thinking that there were people at that apartment trying to break in and kill me. And I really believe that. These are some of the things that happen with harder drug use. And these things that I was doing, they were having a really horrible effect on my family and my sisters. And at the time, I didn't realize that. At the time, the only thing I was worried about was myself. What I would say is that I was alive, but I wasn't truly living. And I was running from God. But the thing about that is that he was still beside me through all of that pain and all of that shame. And so it came to a point where I stopped caring. I had destroyed my phone. I was sleeping for days on end. I was getting my drugs, coming back, and locking myself away. My mom ended up having to get involved, and we were looking to Teen Challenge, but I was still afraid when I had been applying for Teen Challenge. And I ended up going out and getting drugs and hanging out with who I thought were my friends and asking, you know, is this something that I should do? Is this Teen Challenge thing? And just, it got too far. And I remember my mother, instead of comforting me in this time, she did what she needed to do, and she told me, "Where you're going to take away everything unless you go to this program." And I think that that's what I needed to realize, what I was doing in my life and how I was hurting those people. Since I came to Teen Challenge 9 months ago, my entire life has changed. My perspective has changed. A lot of my anxiety is gone and depression is gone. Those issues are still there, absolutely. But the important thing is that I'm dealing with these problems and I'm walking up the hill. I'm walking with Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the wind at my back when I'm walking up that hill, making things easier for me. So that, you know, and in my recovery, what I'm doing right now and sharing, being vulnerable with you right now is helping. It's part of my recovery. And so since coming to Teen Challenge and accepting Jesus Christ, which I had done at a young age, but I really didn't truly believe. Everything's changed. My body's changed physically. I lost 50 pounds. I walk every morning. My walk is a huge part of my life. It's like my journey with God. It's a beautiful property. There's trails. There's so much. There's so many people and so many things there. And the support that we have from the churches helping us, it's something that I really don't deserve. And I remember talking with one of the staff members, and we were at an event, and I said to her, you know, I really don't deserve any of this. I feel guilty and this and that. And she said, no, you don't deserve this, but that's the beauty of the grace of Teen Challenge and Jesus Christ. And so today I want to stand here and say I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. I'm no longer afraid of fear. I'm a child of God. And everything that I do from here forward is for him. I know he has a purpose and a plan for me. And I know that through my pain and my shame, he's using that to help me help others and give me a purpose in my life and a plan for that. And so I really appreciate this opportunity to talk with you guys and have you be a part of my journey. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Drew. Thank you so much. That was my first time actually getting to hear Drew share his testimony up in front of a church, too, so I'm just really blessed to be able to hear that. And we're going to wrap up here in a few minutes, and I'm just, like I said, I'm just really humbled to be here this morning. I feel like, even though I've never been here, like this is a very just loving environment that I feel from you guys, and I'm so thankful that we had the opportunity to come and to share, and I sincerely hope that there's someone here whose life it touched because this is a powerful message and it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with Jesus and his grace and how much he loves us. I really hope that hope is what was shared here today. I hope that you guys can see these lives like I can and realize how much God has changed them and impacted them. Because they are completely different people than when they came here. And we're like Zach said, we're sticking around. So just because we're wrapping up here doesn't mean we're leaving right away. We're going to, of course, stick around and eat your food and talk with you guys because we want to build relationship. That's a huge part of what this is about, is building community with other believers and sharing the story that does make a difference. So I want to wrap up, and I want to give you guys an opportunity to give if you would like to do that and share a couple ways you're able to do that. So if you're not able to give this morning, that is completely fine, and we understand that not everyone is in that position. But if you would like to, if that's something you're thinking about, there are different ways to do that. So I believe there's going to be an offering taken up after. And the reason we do this is because we're not a government-funded facility. All our fundraising, it's churches, it's donations, it's individuals, companies sometimes that sponsor us, that give monthly, annually. And that's how we keep our doors open. Because of the generosity of the church, we are able to charge only $1,000 for the guys to come in and live there for the whole year. Because we never want money to be an issue when someone needs help. So we've been able to keep that low because of the generosity. So there's going to be an offering taken up after. There's another option you have. There's a sponsorship program we do at the center. And it's something we encourage a lot because it's a way for you to partner with one of the students at Teen Challenge. So it's a monthly gift of $40, and it's similar to a sponsorship program you would see with World Vision or Compassion. The money comes out, and you can do it through a void check or through credit. But you receive a card like this. So this is Drew here, and you receive a card with a student's picture and some information about them. And you're able to connect with them and write letters to them. And if you're in the area, come out and visit them. And you're at the end of the program. What's really cool is you're invited to their graduation. So at the end of the 12 months, when a student finishes, we have a graduation where we go to a local church and we celebrate, we eat some food, and we just celebrate the year that has the work that has been put in. So you'd get an invitation to that as well. And this is something that really is an incredible chance to partner with guys and encourage them. Because I know people who have been through the program who still have stacks of letters from sponsors they received years ago. And that's what kept them going on the days that, you know, they want to leave and they don't want to be there. So if that's something you think you're able to do, you can talk to me about that. We can set that up after this. And then there's also other options. Unfortunately, we don't have a debit machine here this morning. But there's a tearaway in this pamphlet. And if you didn't receive one of these pamphlets, there's a bunch more on the table out in the lobby. But there's a tearaway with different options of payment. And if you'd like to give a one-time gift, if you'd like to sign up for a sponsorship through this, you can tear that off, fill out your information, mailing address, and things like that for tax receipt purposes. and fill out the rest of the information, and you can put it right in that envelope. Or you can just come talk to me if you're not sure how to do it or what you'd like to do or different options. You can come talk to me, absolutely. So I want to just close off in prayer this morning. Thank you so much, guys, for having us and for giving us this opportunity. God, we love you. We are thankful for today. We are thankful for just this church and these people, God. We want this to be just in people's minds. We want it to stick with them as they leave here. God, I pray that you would take this, and if there are people on the minds of those here today who are in addiction, who are struggling, I pray that you would encourage everyone here to go and talk to them. Even if they've tried a million times and it hasn't worked, if they haven't heard, God, don't let them give up on the people in their lives who are struggling, God, because there is always hope, and we know that and we see that in Jesus Christ, that no one is too far gone, no one is too broken for your love. God, thank you for loving us unconditionally. Thank you for each of the guys in the program at Teen Challenge, and I pray that you would bless the rest of this morning and our time together in fellowship. In Jesus' name.